The impulse of youth comes into play here, and with it a magic that emotion is very apt to confuse with beauty, so that youth, if some all-too-disconcerting flaw does not cripple its attraction, is usually simply perceived as beauty, even by youth itself, as its own smile unmistakably reveals. Charm is inherent in youth, a manifestation of beauty that by its very nature is suspended between masculinity and femininity. A lad of 17 is not beautiful in the sense of consummate masculinity, neither is he beautiful in the sense of a purely impractical femininity. That would attract only a few, but let us grant this much. Beauty as youthful charm always tends in both psychology and expression somewhat toward the feminine. That is part of its nature, which has its basis in its tender relationship with the world and of the world with it. It is painted in youth's smile. At 17, it is true, someone can be more beautiful than woman or man, beautiful both as woman and man, beautiful from both sides and in every way, handsome and beautiful enough to set any woman, any man, gawking, tumbling, head over heels in love. And so it was with Rachel's son, and that is why it is said that he was the most beautiful among the children of men. That was exaggerated praise, for there have been and are a great many like him. And ever since humankind ceased to play the role of amphibian or reptile, and has, for the most part, followed a path toward a more divine physicality, it has hardly been unusual for a lad of 17, with such trim legs and small hips, such a well-formed torso, such golden brown skin, to be greeted with approving looks. Nothing unusual about being neither too tall nor too squat, but of just the right stature, about walking and standing in demigod-like fashion, about a form charmingly suspended between gentleness and power. It is also hardly extraordinary that no dog's head sits atop such a body, but rather something very appealing, with a smiling, human mouth that approaches the divine. It happens every day. But in Joseph's world and immediate circle, it was precisely his person and presence that exercised beauty's emotional effect, and people generally felt that the Eternal had poured out grace upon his lips, which would certainly have been too full if not for the movement that came with speaking and smiling. This grace was challenged. There was resistance to it here and there, but that resistance denied none of all this. Nor can one claim that it actually excluded itself from the reigning emotion. There is much to be said, at any rate, for the notion that his brother's hatred was essentially nothing other than that same universal infatuation, but with a negative prefix. The Shepherd. So much, then, for Joseph's beauty and his 17 years. That he tended the flock together with his brothers, that is, with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, also needs to be elucidated, with amplifications on the one hand and qualifications on the other. Jacob, the man of blessing, was a stranger in the land, a jer, as people called him, a tolerated guest of some repute, not because he had lived so long outside the country, but in his own right by heritage and rank, as the son of his forefathers, who had likewise been Jerim. His distinction was not that of a home-owning citizen from a high-born urban family. It had its source in wisdom and riches, together with the mark they left upon his personage and bearing, and not in his style of life, which was rather loose, and though always within the law, had about it, one might say, an orderly ambiguity. He lived in tents outside the walls of Hebron, just as he had once dwelt before Shechem's gates, and might one day pack up and once again seek out different wells and pastures. Was he then a Bedou, an offspring of Cain, with the sign of the vagrant and robber upon his brow, an abomination and terror to cities and farmers alike? Not in the least. In dealing with the mortal enemy, the Amalekites, his god had proved no different from the local Baals. He, Jacob, had demonstrated that several times, by arming his own household so that, together with city folk and